Ambangala manura la ria.
67. The first poon smacks into the belly of the chopper as they are coming in low over the valley. YT feels it rather than hears it. She knows that sweet impact so well that she can sense it, like one of those super-sensitive seismo thingies that detects earthquakes on the other side of the planet. Then half a dozen other poons strike in quick succession, and she has to force herself not to lean over and look out the window. Of course. The chopper's belly is a solid wall of Soviet steel. It'll hold poons like glue. If they just keep flying low enough to poon, which they have to keep the chopper under the Mafia's radar. She can hear the radio crackling up front.
Take it up, Sasha.
You're picking up some parasites. She looks out the window. The other chopper, the little aluminum corporate number, is flying alongside them, a little bit higher in the air, and all the people inside of it are peering out the windows, watching the pavement underneath them. Except for Raven. Raven is still goggled into the metaverse. Shit. The pilot's pulling the chopper to a higher altitude.
Okay, Sasha, you lost him, the radio says. But you still got a couple of them poon things hanging off your belly. So make sure you don't snag them on anything. The cables are stronger than steel.
That's all YT needs. She opens the door and jumps out of the chopper. At least that's how it looks to the people inside. Actually, she grabs a handhold on her way down and ends up dangling from the swinging open door, looking inward toward the belly of the chopper. A couple of poons are stuck to it. 30 feet below, she can see the handles dangling on the ends of their lines, fluttering in the airstream. Looking into the open door, she can't hear Rife, but she can see him sitting there next to the pilot, motioning, "Down, take it down." Which is what she figured. This hostage thing works two ways. She's no good to Rife unless he's got her, and she's in one piece. The chopper starts losing altitude again, heading back down toward the twin stripe of low glow that marks out the avenue beneath them. YT gets swinging back and forth on the door a little, finally swings in far enough that she can hook one of the poon cables with her foot. This next bit is going to hurt like hell, but the tough fabric of the coverall should prevent her from losing too much skin. And the sight of Tony lunging at her, trying to grab her sleeve, reinforces her own natural tendency not to think about it too hard. She lets go of the chopper's door with one of her hands, grabs the poon cable, winds it around the outside of her glove a couple of times, then lets go with the other hand. She was right. It does hurt like hell. As she swings down under the belly of the chopper, out of Tony's grasp, something pops inside her hand. Probably one of those dinky little bones. But she gets the poon cable wrapped around her body the same way Raven did when he rappelled off the ship with her, and manages a controlled burning slide down to the end. Down to the handle, that is. She hooks it onto her belt so she can't fall, and then thrashes around there for what seems like a whole minute until she's not tangled up in the cable anymore. Just dangling by the waist, twisting around and around between the chopper and the street, out of control. Then she gets the handle in both hands and unhooks it from her belt, so she's hanging by the arms again, which was the whole point of the exercise. As she rotates, she sees the other chopper above her and off to the side, glimpses the faces watching her, knows that all of this is being relayed over the radio to Rife. Sure enough, the chopper cuts to about half its former speed, loses some altitude. She clicks another control and reels out the line all the way to the end, dropping 20 feet in one thrill-packed moment. Now she's flying along, 10 or 15 feet above the highway, doing maybe 45 miles an hour. The logo signs shoot past her on either side like meteors. Other than a swarm of couriers, traffic is light. The rare chopper comes thwacking in, dangerously close, and she looks up at it just for an instant and sees Raven looking at her through the window. He's pulled his goggles up on his forehead just for a second. He's got a certain look on his face, and she realizes that he's not pissed at her at all. He loves her. She lets go of the handle and goes into freefall. At the same time, she jerks the manual release on her cervical collar and goes into full Michelin Man mode as tiny gas cartridges detonate in several strategic locations around her bod. The biggest one goes off like an M80 at the nape of her neck, unfurling the coverall's collar into a cylindrical gas bag that shoots straight up and encases her entire head. Other airbags go off around her torso and her pelvis, paying lots of attention to that spinal column. Her joints are already protected by the armor gel. Which is not to say that it doesn't hurt when she lands. She can't see anything because of the airbag around her head, of course. But she feels herself bouncing at least 10 times. She skids for a quarter of a mile and apparently caroms off several cars along the way. She can hear their tires squealing. Finally, she goes butt first through someone's windshield and ends up sprawled across their front seat. They veer into a Jersey barrier. The airbag deflates as soon as everything stops moving, and she claws it away from her face. Her ears are ringing or something. She can't hear anything. Maybe she busted her eardrums when the airbags went off. But there's also the question of the big chopper, which has a talent for making noise. She drags herself out onto the hood of the car, feeling little hunks of safety glass beneath her, carving parallel scratches into the paint job. Rife's big Soviet chopper is right there, hovering about 20 feet above the avenue, and by the time she sees it, it has already accumulated a dozen more poons. Her eyes follow the cables down to street level, and she sees couriers straining at the lines. This time, they're not letting go. Rife gets suspicious, and the chopper gains altitude, lifting the couriers off their planks. But a passing double-bottom semi sheds a small army of couriers. There must be 100 of them pooned onto the poor thing. And within a few seconds, all their magna poons are airborne, and at least half of them stick to the armor plating on the first try. The chopper lurches downward until all of the couriers are on the ground again. 20 more couriers come flying in and nail it. Those that can't, grab onto someone else's handle and add their weight. The chopper tries several times to rise, but it may as well be tethered to the asphalt by this point. It starts to come down. The couriers fan out away from it so that the chopper comes down in the middle of a radial burst of poon cables. Tony, the security guy, climbs down out of the open door, moving slowly, high-stepping his way through the web of cables, but somehow retaining his balance and his dignity. He walks away from the chopper until he is out from under the rotor blades, then pulls an Uzi out from under his windbreaker and fires a short airburst.
"Get the fuck away from our chopper!" he is shouting.
The couriers, by and large, do. They're not stupid. And YT is now walking around safe on the pavement. The mission is accomplished. The code is finished. There's no reason to hassle these chopper dudes anymore. They detach their poons from the belly of the chopper and reel in the cables. Tony looks around and sees YT. She's walking directly toward the chopper. Her sprained body moves awkwardly.
"Get back in the chopper, you lucky bitch," he says.
YT picks up a loose poon handle that no one has bothered to reel in yet. She hits the button that turns off the electromagnet, and its head drops off the chopper's armor. She reels it in until about 4 feet of slack is there between the reel and the head. "There was this dude named Ahab that I read about," she says, whirling the poon around her head. "He got his poon cable all wrapped up around the thing he was trying to poon. It was a big mistake." She lets the poon fly. It passes up through the plane of the rotor blades, near the center, and she could see the unbreakable cable start to wind itself around the delicate parts of the rotor's axle, like a garrote around the ballerina's neck. Through the chopper's windshield, she can see Sasha reacting, flipping switches frantically, pulling levers, his mouth making a long string of Russian curses. The poon's handle gets snapped out of her hand, and she sees it get whipped into the center like it's a black hole. "I guess he just didn't know when to let go. Like some people," she says. Then she turns around and walks away from the chopper. Behind her, she can hear large pieces of metal going the wrong way, running into one another at high speed. Rife has figured it out a long time ago. He's already running down the middle of the highway with a submachine gun in one hand, looking for a car to commandeer. Above, the rare chopper hovers and watches. Rife looks up to it and motions forward with one hand, shouting,
"Go to LAX! Go to LAX!"
The chopper makes one last orbit over the scene, watching as Sasha puts the ruined gunship into cold shutdown, watching furious couriers overwhelming and disarming Tony and Frank and the President, watching as Rife stands in the middle of the left lane and forces a Cosa Nostra pizza car to a stop, forces the driver out. But Raven isn't watching any of these things. He's looking out the window at YT. And as the chopper finally tilts forward and accelerates into the night, he grins at her and gives her the thumbs up. YT bites her lower lip and flips him the bird. With that, the relationship is over, hopefully for all time. YT borrows a plank from an odd skater and pushes herself across the street to the nearest by-and-fly and starts trying to call Mom for a ride home.